Where's the fanfare? We welcome Matt Olien. He reviews movies for us each and every Thursday here on Prairie Public. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Craig.
Oh, now, come on, Matt. You're better than good. Ohio State won a national championship in football.
Yeah.
What made you start following the Buckeyes?
Well, when I was young, there were only 2-3 games on every Saturday back then. We're about the same age, Craig. It's not like now where you turn on Saturday college football and there's a zillion games. I mean, generally, we got the Midwestern powers on television. Michigan, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Ohio State. That's what we got. You know, you just latch on to somebody, and I latched on to them.
I always had an affinity for Notre Dame because, if you remember, they had their highlight show on Sunday morning.
Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah, had the half-hour show. So it may have been the case, I will neither confirm or deny, that I may have been sick a few times and not went to church and instead watched Lindsey Nelson give me highlights with the Irish. Too bad that there's a period now on the end of the college football season, but there is not a period on movies ever because they come and they come and they come. The movie is Baby Girl, and it follows a successful but unfulfilled woman, a powerful woman. She enters a dominant, submissive affair with a younger man, exploring themes of power, desire, and self-discovery.
Hey. We need to have a conversation. You're very young. I don't want to hurt you.
I think I have power over you. Because I could make one call and you lose everything. Does that turn you on when I say that?
Don't you have to be at work?
Is now a good time to introduce the interns?
Yeah.
I chose you as my mentor.
I'm not a part of that program.
Oh, no, you are. You're on the list. I got an email and I clicked on your name.
How'd you get that dog to calm down?
Good girl. I gave it a cookie.
You always have cookies on you.
Why, do you want one?
Being a CEO means being a nurturer and a collaborator.
Guns.
No. What?
Is that what you want?
I have these fantasies.
What do you mean? It's about giving and taking power.
What did you do? Go to a library? Look that up?
This is what I'm talking about.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm not... so sorry. No.
Say it.
Okay.
Whatever you tell me. Say it again.
I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Good girl.
I've never experienced anything like this.
You're my baby girl.
Sounds pretty salacious to me. What did you think of the movie?
So this was a movie. The director is Helena Rian, who is Dutch. She's a Dutch actress director. And, you know, when this came out, I was kind of hearing some Oscar talk for Nicole Kidman to be a nominee, but that's not going to happen now. My sources say, well, we'll talk about the nominations in a few minutes, Craig. She did not get a nomination. And she's really good in the movie. She's very good playing this unfulfilled CEO, as you said, who enters into this relationship with an intern played by British actor Harris Dickinson. I'll get to him in a minute. This was a movie, I think, that promised more than it could deliver. I think it's trying to be kind of a Last Tango in Paris, 9.5 weeks type situation. And when you say salacious, I think the film is too genteel. I went in, my friend and I who went to this, I mean, I was really expecting them to really push the NC-17 limits, and they didn't do it. It's a solid R rating. I mean, there's nudity and there's, you know, some strange things going on when they kind of meet up and start this strange relationship. And who is it? The real thing is, who's in power in this relationship? That's the really interesting dynamic here, Craig. I don't want to give too many plot points away, but she's the CEO, he's the intern. And you'd kind of think on the surface, well, she's in control. Not necessarily. And that becomes really the crux of the movie. Who's in control of the situation? Who can go squeal and really ruin someone's career here? But Kidman's very good. but I think the film is too genteel. I found that, you know, I'm not advocating an NC-17 possibly, but I really think if they'd have pushed the artistic limits and pushed the limits of sort of the scenes in the bedroom or the hotels, I think it might have been a more daring movie. And almost like it gets right up to the line and doesn't quite commit, doesn't quite stick the landing. And I think if you're going to make a movie like this and really want to be provocative and salacious, you need to push the artistic button. And I don't think the director pushed it far enough. She's really good. Kidman's good. I wasn't wild about Harris Dickinson in this intern role. I'm not sure if that's how they had him play the part. he's really good looking, so she's attracted to him. And yes, she's unfulfilled. She's married to Antonio Banderas. He plays the husband, and he kind of plays the role, Craig, in older movies that the woman would have played, you know, kind of the focus on the man, and there's the wife role. There's the unfulfilled wife role, which isn't really a great acting role. And they kind of give Banderas the husband role, which would have been the wife role 50 years ago in a movie. But he does get a big scene near the end that's really interesting to watch. And so I think having him more in the movie might have helped this. And he's a big star, of course. But, you know, it's worth a look. It's worth seeing. I didn't sense a big chemistry between Kidman and Dickinson as the two actors either. But Kidman commits to this role. She really does. And I give her a lot of props for that, but I just don't think this is Last Tango in Paris. It just doesn't quite, you know, you have to be fully committed to a movie like this. Matt, and I really think one more scene would have been better.
Matt, I've read where this film draws comparisons to Eyes Wide Shut for fantasy-like coincidences, et cetera. Compare the two, would you, Matt?
I think that's a decent comparison. I did not care for Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick's infamous final movie. Excuse me. Some people really like that movie. I think it's Kubrick's worst film, certainly worst film once he had money to spend on movies. But, you know, Eyes Wide Shut was a movie I thought that didn't quite stick the landing either. So I think those comparisons are fair. I would compare this a little more to Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando and Maria Schneider way back in 1973. Where, you know, Brando gets the showy role in that film, just like Kidman got the showy role in this one. But it doesn't push the limits the way Last Tango did. Now, Last Tango was a very controversial movie when it came out. I just think a little more inventive in terms of the filmmaking technique and pushing those boundaries a little bit more to make the audience a little more uncomfortable. I was almost laughing in some of the scenes unintentionally. And I don't know that that's what the director Helena Rian had in mind. But my friend and I, who both went, were a kind of unintentionally laughing in some scenes because of the comic value in some of these scenes. That I don't know if it was intentional or not. So I was a little disappointed in this movie, to be honest.
All right, Matt, I'm guessing this is like Christmas morning for you. The Oscar nominees have now been announced. What did you learn?
Well, here's what I learned, Craig. The Academy really likes Emilia Perez, the French film directed by Jacques Audiard, starring Carlos Sofia Gascon and Zoe Saldana. I can tell you this is a polarizing movie. I have talked to friends that liked it. I've talked to friends that don't like it. I did like it. I'm not sure it's worthy of 13 nominations. It might be too polarizing to win the Best Picture Oscar. Typically, Best Picture winners, Craig, are not polarizing. They're not, you know, critical opinion is divided. Where I think is Wicked probably is the slight favorite to win Best Picture because most people liked Wicked. It's not a controversial film. Emilia Perez has, you know, the transgender actress, and there's been some pushback in the transgender community that, you know, she plays this former drug lord, drug kingpin who has this surgery so that she's unrecognizable. And so I think there's been some pushback like that. These things always happen, Craig, during Oscar campaigns where there's something that's bothering some people, right? And The Brutalist has the same problem right now. It's got 10 nominations along with the 10 for Wicked. So those are the top three nominated movies, 13 nominations for Emilia Perez, 10 for Wicked, 10 for The Brutalist. The problem for The Brutalist now, Craig, there is some AI issues that it's dealing with. They've had to come out and say that they did some AI enhancement on some vowel pronunciation of the Hungarian language being spoken by Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones. So there may have been some AI editing enhancements on their performances. And again, part of the strike, remember the big strike in Sure. Hollywood, was on AI. And so I think it's a mistake that the Brutalist people made by making this an issue. It could cost Adrian Brody the Best Actor Oscar. It shouldn't, but it could shift it to Timothy Chalamet, who I think is a slight favorite anyway. So I learned a few things like that. Emilia Perez has also been, that film has also been accused of using some AI stuff to enhance Carla Sofia Gascon's singing voice. So we have a lot of little controversies brewing here as we head into Oscar time. And that's why I think Wicked is the less controversial film. And I think it's a slight favorite to win Best Picture. Complete Unknown got 8 nominations. Ever since I saw that movie, Craig, I was in love with it. I thought it was a very good musical biopic of Bob Dylan. Chalamet does the singing, does the playing, all of that. I think that's going to make him a slight favorite to beat Brody for Best Actor. The Academy really likes this movie, and I like this movie from the very beginning. It succeeds where a lot of musical biopics fail. A lot of them fail by having too much of a time lapse. This is only 4 years of Bob Dylan's life. The Academy likes Conclave. That got 8 nominations. Anora got 6 nominations. I think Anora is a little too idiosyncratic of a movie to win Best Picture, but I think Mikey Madison has an outside chance to win Best Actress for her brilliant performance. The other Best Picture nominees, as I'm going through, Dune Part 2, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, and The Substance. And I think Demi Moore has emerged as possibly a Best Actress possibility to win the Oscar, which was crazy to think about a year ago.
Matt, you were wondering where they were going to put the two actresses of Wicked, and they split them, and you kind of hinted at that. Are you satisfied with that?
No, I mean, to me, they're co-leads, right? And there used to be, the Academy used to nominate, you know, Midnight Cowboy, John Voight, Dustin Hoffman, both nominated for Best Actor. Thelma and Louise, Susan Sarandon, Gina Davis, both Best Actress. How do you separate Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande in this movie? I don't think you can, but clearly the Wicked people want Grande in supporting actor, so she has a chance to win. Same thing happened with Emilia Perez. Zoe Saldana, who plays the lawyer, Carla Sofia Gascon's character's lawyer, is in almost every scene in the movie, and she's put in supporting. So that supporting actress battle is really shaping up between two actresses who are essentially lead performances, if that makes any sense. So I would have rather seen them both in the lead, but that's not the way they do things anymore.
Matt, if I were to ask you what your biggest surprise is from this list that was just announced today, what would you tell me?
I think the momentum that The Substance has, which is essentially a horror movie with Demi Moore, it really has a lot of momentum right now. I did not see it this summer. There's 3 Best Picture nominees I have yet to see. I will attempt between now and March 2nd to see them. So the momentum that film has is really interesting. And momentum stalled for a lot of other movies. You know, Nicole Kidman in Baby Girl, which we just talked about. And I told you she wouldn't be nominated, and she wasn't. She's very good in the movie, but the movie isn't good enough. So that is really a surprise. Sebastian Stan getting nominated as Donald Trump in The Apprentice, a little bit of a surprise that he aced out Daniel Craig in Queer, who I thought Craig would be in the nomination process. Really happy to see Edward Norton nominated for supporting actor as Pete Seeger in A Complete Unknown. Really happy to see Guy Pearce nominated for The Brutalist in supporting actor. Yura Borisov in Anora got a supporting actor nomination. Russian actor, that's a really, I'm very happy with that. Best Actress, boy, it's a wide open field. Cynthia Erivo, Demi Moore, Carla Sofia Gascon, Mikey Madison, any of them could win. And the supporting actress category is really strong. You know, I mentioned Ariana Grande and Zoe Saldana, but really nice to see Felicity Jones nominated for The Brutalist, and Monica Barbaro, kind of a surprise nomination as Joan Baez in A Complete Unknown. The directing group, that's an interesting group as well. All first-time nominees, Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, James Mangold, A Complete Unknown, Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, and Coralie Farget for The Substance. Not sure who's going to win that award. My guess is it'll be Audiard, Corbett, or Sean Baker, but we will see.
The awards will be March 2nd, Matt. Still no talk about moving those to a different day, correct?
Nope, I don't think it's going to happen. Now that the nominations have been released, the fires are starting to become under control. Under control, I use that very loosely because it's a tragedy out there. I think they are going to have the show. There'll be a lot of talk about the fires at the show. There'll be a lot of talk about Donald Trump at the show. you can anticipate what this show is going to be like. It's going to be a political show, and there's going to be a lot of support for people that lost their homes in the Los Angeles area.
All right, there we go for that. Matt, let's go now to our trivia part of the question. Nicole Kidman has won an Academy Award for Best Actress. It was
The Hours, 2002, as Virginia Woolf.
She was also nominated for the movie Moulin Rouge, but did not win. Who won Best Actress that year?
And that was the year before, right? 2001, that was Halle Berry for Monsters Ball.
That's exactly right. We've been to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, thanks for joining us on Main Street.
You bet, Craig.